Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Scriblers that live within the cracks. Good morning to the old Dwobblers breaking their backs. Good morning to the Sunday freaks. Good morning to the weekend geeks. Good morning to the fisher people fishing for fish along a crimson ocean, just another dish. Because it is Sunday, June the 14th, 2026, right around 7:32 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here on the Olympic Peninsula. And these are your Zero Hedge Fancy Pants style headlines. Iran reveals a draft of 1.8 trillion. New math projecting 52% talking across. UK Prime Minister sees Sweden getting in a conflict with Somaliland over which states, man, which states have the newest AI. North Korean millionaire next door, tell him he's a piece of shit. Tell him he's a piece of shit. Tell him he's a piece of shit. There are discs and orbs Hillary Clinton fears inside of AI and Alaska, but the Bitcoin will clash with a massive AI debt. And these are your Zero Hedge headlines. If you know what, it makes about that much fucking sense. As I go to sleep at night, I just lift up my arms. As I go to sleep at night, I just stick up my arms, I stick them up in the air. And I close my eyes and I say, as I click my heels, oh, baby Jesus, take me home. Just take me home. I've seen enough. I've smelled enough. I've had enough. Just, you know, you can do it. Throw a switch. I won't bitch. Just take me home, baby Jesus. So if you're familiar with my podcast, all two or three or six, seven of you, you know that often, not often, once in a while, that's more descriptive and correct. Every once in a while, when we're talking about the issue of oil, I will mention somebody by the name of Art Berman. I'm not an expert on Art Berman. I wouldn't even know what that would mean. He is an oil analyst and a person in the world of, well, yeah, petroleum, economics, oil economics, drilling. If it has to do with shale, he nails it. He knows the stuff. He knows his stuff. But recently I was listening to an interview of his on the Daniel Davis deep dive. And first, guys, I've talked about this guy too. I think you need to be really careful of all these edgelords. It's all kind of garbage at this point, which means if you have discernment or Sovietological skills, you need to dig a little deeper when you're listening to this garbage. But that being said, every once in a while, there's a pearl, there's an undigested grape, and hundreds of thousands of metric tons of shit. Okay, every once in a while. This particular interview is bad, and you know, Daniel Davis freely admits in the comments, the audio was off, but the audio was off in a weird way. It was very strange. Periodically, Art's voice would be in demon voice mode, and he was also footsing about with these scissors. I don't know what he was cutting. Maybe he's a nervous tick kind of guy. But previous interviews I've seen him on, he didn't seem like he was futzing about with scissors, so it was kind of weird. He said a couple things. One thing that Art Berman said in this interview is Iran does not care about its people. I don't know how you come to that conclusion. Firstly, Iran is a geographical area. It is a nation state. It is a country that the United States has fucked with since really before World War II. Between us and Great Britain, we fucked with them a lot. We toppled their leader in 1953, replaced him with a disaster called the Shah. And then we were shocked in 79 when they got rid of the Shah. And then we funded Saddam Hussein and gave him chemical weapons so he could invade, attack, kill Iranians. And we're shocked that they don't like us. I believe in 86 or 87, we shot down a civilian airliner over the Persian Gulf, you know. Shocked. You know, why don't they like us? And here's the deal, folks. If someone says Iran, I don't know who the fuck they're talking about. If you're talking about the mullahs in the government, I don't like any of these governments. Now, you could get into an argument with me about some being worse than others, and some probably are, but they all suck. None of them are good. None of them are righteous. None of them represent moral principle. All you have in a government, any government throughout all time, is a bad HOA, and all governments are HOAs, and all of them are bad. That is just the simple fact of things. But do I believe that the state of Iran is a greater threat to this country than, let's say, the state of Israel? No. No, the state of Israel is a clear and present danger. It is in our government. It is controlling people in our government. If you're going to believe that narrative, which is right now being pushed in our faces, yeah, it has infested the country, right? And that's the explanation. That's a good explanation. It could also be a limited hangout. It could. Let's all avoid getting suckered, folks. But all I can tell you is the first thing he said, Iran doesn't care about its people. But then he said something just while he was futzing with his scissors, something else. It was cryptic and strange. He said, you have to believe the story I told you. You have to believe the story I told you. You must believe the story I told you. You don't really have a choice. You have to believe the story I told you. I told it very seriously. And he just said that. And I was thinking to myself, he's a rational, logical guy. But he said two things almost in a row that were completely irrational. One was Iran doesn't care about its people, which I don't even know how you calculate that. And I don't think governments in general ever do. And the other thing he says, but you have to believe the story I just told you. It was almost like he didn't want to tell the story. I mean, one reason for a nervous tick, and maybe even for the demon-sounding microphone, is he was being asked to do something he didn't want to do. Like, he was being given talking points. And these talking points were, listen, you need to tone down the rhetoric on the oil situation. You need to talk about how the system itself is really resilient and flexible. You need to shut the crap up about any types of problems. Now, maybe that didn't happen, but boy, it looked like it could have. Next topic. And you do your own Sovietology on this. I like Art Berman in a lot of ways in terms of his analysis, but this particular interview is strange, and you got to be careful. So I sent out an email to you. I know, Dan, you said you wouldn't send out any more group emails. Well, I guess I lied about that. And I used a word that you could say, well, Dan, you meant nonsense, because it's from a sentence. I told you no more group emails, but that was its own kind of nonsense. Yeah. And it was its own kind of nonsense. Nonsense is a new kind of word. It describes all kinds of covfefe bullshit. Next topic. You are not allowed to do that. Have you ever had that sign in front of you? That internet message, that string of crystalline power, that thing in front of you saying you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to access this endpoint. I'm thinking of getting that tattooed on my asshole. Go back to your zone, to the bone, with grit and shit and spit. You are not alone. Your curses are gone, so long, so strong, with burning, yearning, storming warnings, and join for more WWW has in store. That's the World Wide Web, fucker. You are not. You are not. You shall not. No allowance is made. You're just gonna fade, baby. With busted doors, herpes whores, no one keeps score, and you fall down below. You're gonna grow blow, you're gonna glow as winds bear down, ground moves stoking the pyre, chores for the hire. You are not well. Ring that special bell. The nurse arrives, and you're still alive with fruitful juice. Your stool is quite loose. A boost from the knife. Your life forfeit, gone, beyond. You are not allowed to live, to give, to leave, to grieve. You're not allowed. Anybody ever tell you that? Have you ever felt like tattooing your asshole or near your asshole a statement that says you are not allowed to access this endpoint? Dan, what types of experiences did you have with Catholic priests? Let's not talk about it. So there's a lot of stuff on YouTube right now that you would say, Dan, it's talking about the stuff you've talked about, and ergo, shut up. There's even this new series about Hot House Earth that looks spun up in AI. There's a ton of stuff hyping fear around lakes disappearing and rivers disappearing. And some of this can be true. Folks, this is where understanding we live in an age of confusion. Okay, you know that my relationship with God is really tenuous right now. The Lord knows this. I did something kind of evil a couple weeks ago. Not kind of. I did something evil a couple weeks ago. And so we can be clear on what a curse is. A curse is not saying fuck or shit or bitch. Those might be foul words, but they're not curses. You might have the intentionality behind them to make them a curse, but simply saying fuck is not a curse. What I did a couple weeks ago is I actually wished a lot of destruction upon people I felt had done me wrong. I don't want to go down the list of those people. I don't want to talk about them. The last few months, I felt kind of isolated and angry. And that doesn't make me special. I think a lot of people feel isolated and angry right now. They feel as if they have no power, and they're probably right. They feel as if there's nothing they can do, and maybe that's true too. You might feel trapped. Welcome to the club. You probably feel like you don't have enough money. I got $6 in my checking account, and it's mid-month, and that's not so bad. So there's a link to an article about a lake in Arizona that is virtually dried up and all the fish are dead. And understand that if you dig deeper into the details about San Carlos Lake, that this has happened before. Okay, there are a lot of quote-unquote lakes in this country, let's be clear about this, that didn't exist before we came along. If you know anything about the Bonneville Power Administration, the Tennessee River Valley stuff, if you know anything about what's been done in terms of electrifying the Southeast and the West and other places in the Southwest, you would know that we've created a lot of lakes, quote unquote, in the last 100 years that were never there before. We created them. We dammed up a river. We created a reservoir. We called it a lake. Lake Powell, Lake Mead. And I lived in Tennessee for a while. So there's a crap ton of lakes in Tennessee that are really just dammed up streams and rivers. I'm saying this so that before you read an article like this, before you immediately respond to some YouTube video about hothouse earth or Venus syndrome or permafrost collapse, understand that there are people trying to hype the fear in every direction right now. I want to know the truth. I don't know for certain what the truth is. I don't. I'm pretty certain, let's say I'm 95% certain that living in a city right now, it's not a great idea. I can't see any scenario to include the reset and the robot revolution where being in a city is going to help you. It's going to be a living hell. Even if you get your protein cubes, even if you get your carbo slurry, even if they keep feeding you, city life is going to become hellish. And to me, if you've ever seen a picture of the mayor of Seattle, this woman that just took over, I mean, to me, she symbolizes the avocado toast dystopia that's about to unfold. And it will start out with smiles. It always does. You know, we're here to help the people. But then some people are more equal than others, and some people just get in the way. Anyways, there are lots of stories right now about rivers disappearing and lakes disappearing, and some of those stories are true. And I do believe something's happening in the environment. I don't know what is causing it with certainty. I don't want to get into the debate about CO2, mainly because the crux of the propaganda has been directed at people who are always, always, always scapegoated. And that's the weakest in society. It's the people that drive the SUVs and eat the cheeseburgers and frankly don't have the money to buy a yacht. They are always the ones blamed. And the rich will keep flying their jet airplanes and telling you how much you suck. If you want to understand my fundamental criticism of the global warming theorem, it isn't about the science of the environment. It's about how they're handling it. And it's classic. When the building's aflame, find some poor folks to blame. If they get in a bad mood, take away their food. That is the oldest story. Next topic. Dan, you're terrible. So there's this random article I found today coming from NewScientist.com, and understand something like NewScientist.com has its own agenda. It's one of these paywall articles, so you click on it once, you might get access. I'll let you read it. It deals with what a nuclear war between India and Pakistan would mean for specifically the ozone layer. Now, when I was a kid, they told me, well, we fixed it. All the governments of the world came together and fixed it. The reason why I love the ozone layer topic is it shows how broken in this country the rhetoric and the logic and the thinking is of both the Republicans and the Democrats, because Republicans love to say you just can't trust government, on which point I generally agree. But then they'll bring up when you mention the ozone layer and you say, well, didn't a bunch of governments say they fixed it? And that's when they start going into Robbie the Robot mode and their relays start burning, because it doesn't make sense. The government can't fix shit, right? Then it means it's still a problem. I mean, again, I don't trust any of the parties. If you want to know if there's a political party that's going to tell you the truth about the state of the ecosystem, the answer is zero. Even the quote-unquote in parties that, you know, whatever, the Green Party, if it exists in this country, I'm not sure how, I think it does exist, even they're going to lie. They're going to lie because there is no agenda in telling the truth at this point. There is no point to it. The only people who are trying to tell the truth right now are people who are covering their asses. And this is again, something you saw in the Soviet Union towards the end, is people publishing articles. They look at me, at least I told you about it, you know. So there are articles coming out, you know, telling the truth. But a lot of it is just to protect people, because they know that when it becomes impossible to hide the truth, they know that a lot of people will be screaming bloody murder. And maybe it won't be this summer. You know, oh, this is a super El Nino. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. This could be another one of those boy who cried wolf scenarios, a lot like the toilet paper thing. You know, it could be a setup. It could be a rope-a-dope. It could be the first of the long, hot summers that never end. Again, I don't think we're being told the truth about what's going on. If it is leading to, which means if one of the second or third order effects of what is going on is worldwide permafrost collapse, then it doesn't really matter. We're there already. Doesn't matter how we got there. Okay, what's going to happen next is going to be pretty fucking brutal. And if Dane Wigington is right and they are geoengineering, and I believe that's probably true, I can't prove it, but I think it's probably true, and I think that there is anecdotal evidence enough to show that it's true. But if they are doing that, if they're geoengineering, at some point, that's going to stop working. It might already be at that point. In a recent podcast, I told you that geoengineering, in some ways right now, is like putting a fentanyl patch on a cancer patient, stage 4. There is no stage 5. They're not going to make it. The fentanyl patch is not curing the cancer. It is simply making it easier to deal with death. So yeah, you can read the article about India and Pakistan. Something that came out from NASA in the last few years is the whole story of what a volcanic eruption would do. You know, the whole nuclear winter theory. They've admitted that yes, you do get a cooling effect, but something that happens after the cooling effect is total destruction of the ozone layer. And that means that even if you do have a short-term, quote-unquote, nuclear winter, when that nuclear winter ends, and it might not be that many years, you're going to have a superheating event. So yeah, it's, yeah, good luck with that. There is a PubMed link to an article abstract about the benefits of ticks, specifically the Lone Star tick. What if you get the Lone Star tick and you live in Lone Star, Texas, if you get the Lone Star tick and you drink Lone Star beer and you live in Lone Star, Texas, then at some point you won't be able to eat a Lone Star, you know, Philly cheesesteak sandwich or cheeseburger or beef style carne asada type tacos. You won't be able to eat any beef or red meat. Maybe you can have carnitas. Maybe you can have the chicken taco. But no more beef for you. (laughs) Yeah, so this is an abstract, I think a poster abstract for a conference or something. I don't see a link to a full paper, but there probably is a full paper. You know, you can probably read the whole thing if you want to. But the abstract is how the bite of the Lone Star tick, blah, 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 will lead to the ethical outcome of people not eating red meat. Ergo, ticks are wonderful. It talked a lot about pro tanto. And listen, just because I'm not pro tanto doesn't mean I'm pro Lone Ranger. Yeah, okay, whatever. That's Latin. I know it's Latin. It's legal bullshit. Anyways, I thought this was interesting. Just like the article about Pakistan and India nuclear war destroying the ozone layer. Whatever. So the other day I saw a movie, pre-release date of June the 11th, I think. And the film was a Spielberg film. And it was called Disclosure Day. It's the very day we find out what the aliens are about. We learn about their base, how they want to save the human race, how we're a big disgrace, and all we do is eat chili. All we do is eat chili. So let me just go down a list of things about the movie. Number one, it seemed like a big, long commercial for the Dodge Charger, specifically black. Black Dodge Chargers. And I don't know how much they paid for the product placement, but they did go through a lot of black Dodge Chargers. They packed in all the cliches involving aliens, and they did reuse, in my opinion, especially towards the end. They reused a lot of older film stock, much of the stuff related to Spielberg. They reused film stock, I think, from Close Encounters, so that was interesting. There was an alien dildo. Now, if you held that dildo the right kind of way, yeah, you would get to enjoy shit play. But that alien dildo allowed you to control minds. It allowed you to enter the soul after you smoked a bowl. That alien dildo was handheld dildo play. Yeah. One long chase sequence with alien dildos. It was an excuse. I think there must have been a Filipino hooker that Spielberg met someplace when he was in the Far East, and she was sexy, and she ended up getting him into a blackmail situation. So at the end of the film, along with Emily Blunt, who's always attractive and hot, there's this Filipino hooker who also acts as a news bitch, and she's going through the video watching with you surreptitiously, whatever, on the edge. Oh, look at the rubbery bodies. Oh, look at what we're doing to the aliens. Why are we so mean and bad? Why did we have to do this to them? Why? So yeah, there's a Filipino news bitch. Maybe she's not Filipino. Ask me if I fucking care. She could be from Bangladesh. She could be from India. The point is, whether she's Hispanic or not, I don't really give a fuck. It was such a stupid movie. If you want to save money, don't go see this movie. Now, it's got a lot of hype about how we're going to learn the truth. You know, there you get to meet the old alien. There's two main characters who are running from the Dodge Chargers in the movie. And those two main characters running from the black Dodge Chargers that are constantly getting into wrecks when the dildo man is controlling people's minds. They were both, you know, they both had an old alien stick a finger up their butt when they were kids. And this led to them, at this point, having superpowers. Emily Blunt and the other dude. Yeah. But they meet the old alien at the end of the movie. And he moves his little finger he used to stick up their butt, and everything's fine. So yeah, it was not a good film. If you are interested in UFO subjects, it's not a great film. If you're skeptical of UFO subjects, it might be a great film only because it's so silly. It's not a well-written script, and in a lot of ways, it throws tech in your face. Like, there's a ton of tech that's tossed at you, and man, do they throw a lot of monitors at you. There's monitors everywhere. But then when it comes to, like, the alien dildo, it's like, well, we don't really know. We can't be sure. They probably had it for decades, but whatever. It, you know, hold it in your hand. Maybe it'll work. It's going to kill you, blah, blah, blah. By the way, this is a war plan alert. This is a war plan, Iran, Russia, China, Canada, Uzbekistan. War plan alert. This is a war plan alert. We are moving. We're grooving. We are moving 7 divisions of U.S. Army Rangers to Quadrant 6 to deal with the Hooker Marines of Deseret. The 6th Submarine Hyper Fleet is positioned near Monaco to repel the Swiss Guards and offer indirect fires to support the Celtic assault on the evil of Rome. Rome must burn along with the Pope. These will be indirect fires involving super missiles and other types of projectiles and Dr. Torpedo Head style colonoscopy products. Urine will be reused. You won't waste your urine. We're going to reuse it. Turns will be taken, shaking your booty. Don't be snooty. Large amounts of pork rinds still need to be procured. The Saxon Space Fleet is orbiting near Venus. Something stuck between us, and it's keeping us apart. Iranian sky pilots are monitoring Canadian elk activity near Mount Simon in the western provinces, not far from Chesterfield, where they make the famous cigarette. Terrible battles are commencing at the district movie theaters. People are cursing Sam Blade and the new Choglon Chug Chug franchise of Hornet Girls and their sleazy ways. Trump is positioning our Space Force Star Fleet for the final blow against Iran. Currently, this fleet is hiding behind the moon, ready to pounce on Tehran if the opportunity presents itself. Gerg forces, under the command of General Shlomo Silverbergstein, are commencing joint Mossad-CIA ops to establish child abuse torture centers and organ acquisition facilities in the West Bank and Gaza. Total victory is near again. It will be near every Friday. Every weekend will be so close to peace. Every Monday or Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday, we're going to have to drop some bombs again. Maybe on Thursday, Trump tells us we've achieved total victory. We can all go home now. And then we'll sign a peace treaty on Sunday. But then on Monday, maybe Tuesday, we launch a missile. They sink a boat. But Trump will declare victory on Thursday. Every single Friday will be closer to victory. Better take your yes to go. So before I end the podcast, I want to mention something kind of random, weird, and disturbing. And again, this could be hypersensitivity. This is not special. There are no integers we use, especially integers lower than 10,000. So if you count from 1 to 10,000, you will not find an integer in that list that doesn't get used for IDs, dates, all kinds of weird codes. The point is, these numbers are not special. The number one will show up a lot. If you see a presentation, point one, point one, there'll always be a one. You'll always see a 10 someplace. So this number isn't that special. But I've been seeing it a lot. I have been seeing it in counts on YouTube videos. I've been seeing it in articles. I've been seeing it in just weird, random places. And it's kind of disturbing. And also what's important is this number is more relevant, in my opinion, to pop culture than to the Bible. Yes, the number is in the Bible. Yes, it exists there. But do I think it's the same number that we've learned from pop culture films about the devil and his kids and the end times? So you know the number I'm thinking about. And the number is 666, and I don't even like saying it. Not because I think it's a special number, but because saying it is like admitting to yourself that maybe something's a little bit weird. And there's a lot kind of weird right now. I will freely admit that one of the reasons I'm intrigued by permafrost collapse is because it matches pieces of prophecy. Stuff that's happening in the oceans matches little pieces of prophecy. It does not imply logically with any certainty that we're at a point where things are over. It does not mean that. It just means that it has a spooky connection to prophecy, and because it does, because you can find it in Old Testament unfulfilled prophecy and a New Testament unfulfilled prophecy, because you can see connections to things like boiling seas and stuff like that. And again, if you got methane boiling up underneath the water, it basically looks like a boiling sea. It's spooky. It's weird. It doesn't mean anything. You know, I think there are things I'm fairly certain of. Living in a city right now is a bad idea. I am 100% certain that we entered the great discontinuity in early 2020, meaning that history's unchained. History's unstuck. They tried to do the Fukuyama thing to history for many decades, and it failed. So we are in a period of time where there's a lot of instability, and there are people who have controlled things for a long time who very well could be losing control. The very opposite of the narrative, the reset narrative, the globalist one-world government narrative is that they're losing control. And they could stay on a sinking ship, not likely, or they could go someplace else. So there are things I'm kind of certain of. I think they have a safe zone, and it's not a place you're ever going to get to. Could it be on the moon or Mars? Who knows? I think Antarctica is probably the best bet. But there are question marks, things that I don't know, you don't know. I don't really know for certain if any of this stuff means necessarily that it's going to get crazy or super dangerous. There's a lot we don't know, folks. There are some things we might feel like we know, and we could be right, and it might not matter. It's like I said earlier, if you feel trapped right now, if you feel alone, if you feel as if there's nothing you can do, all those feelings can be quite valid. And still, we can't really give up, can we? Because we're still alive. It is Sunday, June the 14th. It is 8:10 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula in the year 2026. We are in year 7 of Boblimpdoc. Huh, I thought it was only going to last, 5 years. Really did. When that fake assassination attempt happened, in Pennsylvania, Butler, I thought, there you go, pop and smoke. But nope. We're not there yet. And it looks like the dial on the Iran war is being managed just like the dial on the COVID, which means we're not there yet. Whatever's coming and ain't here yet could be close, could be right around the corner, but it ain't here. Until it gets here, have fun, never fear, take care of yourself, take care of the people you love, and if you're having sex, wear a glove.